Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
You're on The Bert Show.
All right, Cassie is a little bit frustrated. I think we've all been here also now. When you're online, are you talking to somebody? Is it AI? What is happening?
So I'm emailing with the CEO of a company who I have met before. And I noticed the first time he emailed, I was like, oh, okay, he's very formal. And the second time he emailed, I was like, he is 100% using AI to craft his email responses back to me. You know how you can just tell when it's AI?
Yeah. Well, sort of. I can't tell sometimes if it's AI or it's being outsourced. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the words sometimes are a little on the jiggly side. So I can't tell if it's being outsourced and somebody's trying to communicate that doesn't quite get all the words right in English, or if it's AI.
I see what you're saying for sure. This is grammatically perfect. Like, there is nothing wonky. It's just very stiff and formal. Just crafting my fair share of belated replies and surprisingly the time slot you've proposed. Like, things like that where I'm like, normal humans don't talk like this, or, you know, like typical people, unless maybe you are... English is your second language and you've learned like the formal way. Like, if I went to France and spoke French, they'd be like, look at this goober, because everything I learned is from a textbook and that's not how people talk.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that's not the case. And it has me feeling some kind of way. And I don't know why. I think it's because I'm like, can't you just respond as a... I don't mind outsourcing to AI for tasks. It just feels weird when you outsource the human interaction part that should be super easy. And I'm judging a little bit because I'm like, isn't this very easy to email back and forth? These are not complicated questions. Mm-hmm. It's just like, are you free to meet this time? And then I'm getting like it feels very inhuman.
They're using AI to say yes.
Or I'll be like, hey, sorry for my delayed response. And then the AI will respond to that. And I'm like, just talk to me like a human back and forth. And I feel bad because there's technically nothing wrong. This person, she's making sure that everything is written properly, like, and it's, you know, the utmost professional, but it's putting me off doing business with her because I feel that I can't trust her because I'm like, is it you or is it AI that I'm talking to? And I want a human-to-human interaction on this part of our business. And I'm wondering if maybe I'm being too uptight and this is just the way we're just going to have AI assistants talking to each other.
I wonder if there's some small corner of the internet now where there's a hack, where there's one question you can ask that would determine for sure if it was AI or not.
Well, I think she's taking my email and plugging it into AI, right? So I don't think it's like an AI bot responding. I think she's getting my emails, plugging it in because it's addressing very specific points in my email. So it feels personalized, but there's no... Humans do not talk like this. I can tell. And I went back and read her other emails. And I have read enough in my life and talked to enough people. I do social media. Like, I understand how humans talk in a business sense and online. And this ain't it.
At the end of the day, though, if whoever is interacting with you is getting the job done, then what difference does it make if it's AI or if it's a person?
I think that's my conundrum, but I feel lied to. Like, if you're on TikTok and you see a picture that's AI, it has a label that says AI generated. Like, I feel like you need to disclose somewhere that it's AI. I feel like I'm having conversations and I'm being duped because I'm not getting this person's actual reactions. Mm-hmm. I'm getting what a computer is, a computer thinks right. should be the response rather than a genuine response.
You feel like it's not authentic.
Yes.
I get. And it's funny because this really is becoming a thing because my dude was texting someone and he sent me like the draft of the text that he wanted to send this girl that he's talking to. And I was like, bro, you didn't write this. Like, it was very obvious to me that he used it and he wouldn't admit it at first. But there are certain sentences in there, like you're saying, that you're like, no human would say that in the dating world. And I completely knew he was using AI.
Kaylee wants in on this. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's so like for me personally, I'm not a fast typer at all. So and I'm probably not the best with punctuation and things where and so versus send someone like yourself, who's very intelligent and who's good with all the grammar and make myself look less intelligent. I normally would draft something and then throw it through ChatGPT just mm-hmm. so, you know, no one's going to pick it apart going, oh, he misspelled this or didn't put a comma there or semicolon or whatever. And so, you know, maybe that's what she's doing. But I feel like what I send normally has... It's not like, I get what you're saying. Some things are very AI sounding.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever sent me an email done through AI, but I can never tell with yours.
Well, I did once, but it was, remember, it was like written from the 1800s.
Oh, and yeah,
it
was, well,
man, that was you obvious. Even said, you go, wow. I mean, this is crazy.
I was an idiot. I thought he actually wrote that. So AI's great at writing in the style of the 1800s, and that's how these like her emails are coming off. And but that's a good point, Kaylee. Like, if you're using it to better yourself, then and be more professional. Can I fault you for it?
Hey, Sheridan. Good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good. Thank you.
Long time listener. Love you guys. Real quick.
Thank you.
So it's super easy. There is a ton of free AI checker software online.
Ooh. Okay. Where do we find these? So
I use a certain one called Grammarly, but I'm also a student, so I kind of use it with that. But it's to maybe check papers sometimes.
Okay.
But you can just Google free AI checker, and there's a ton of them, and it works really well. It'll tell you if it was all done by AI or the percentage that is AI generated.
You're great. Ooh. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Ooh. Thank you, Sheridan. I just Googled one, found one. Okay. AI content detected.
Is that right?
It is AI.
The jig is up. You feel better about it now?
I feel good that I can tell AI from humans means it ain't perfect yet. It's not going to take over the world.
It's not. And you know what I think people, where they're making the mistake is they're putting it into ChatGPT and then they're not like adding human element to it. And you can immediately tell. It's a great tool, but you got to tweak it.
Yes.
We used to call it, what petty hill would you die on? Like, not major, major, major issues, but like small, petty, superficial hills that you believe nobody else does and you are willing to die for your right and your opinion.
And that's what BuzzFeed has done. So, yeah, so this is the list that BuzzFeed has curated from the internet. People are sharing their pettiest hills to die on, and it's already a dumpster fire in the comments, it says. And it says, recently I asked the BuzzFeed community to share a small hill they are willing to die on. The results have convinced me that we are all driven by our own convictions, no matter how insignificant they may seem to one another. So one of them is, I refuse to pump my own gas. I don't care if people call me spoiled or an elitist. I won't subject myself to the smell, the germs on the handles, the possible compromise of the info on my credit card, or the danger of standing outside my car for an extended time. It's worth the extra money for me. Lucky Oregonians, by the law, they only have full service.
And I think New Jersey also.
New Jersey. All of my friends from New Jersey feel like that.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe because I never use it. I didn't even know it was still a thing. Yeah.
Had no idea.
Oh, yeah, in Jersey, I don't think you pump your gas anywhere.
Right.
They always do it for you.
Fascinating. Next, Mo, this one will hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Nickelback is great. Yes, I said it, great. It's a great band.
Talk about it. They got smashes, whether y'all accept it or not.
Great.
Great.
Or just not as bad as people make them out to be.
I'm not saying they're the best band of all time, but you can give them great. They got some smashes. All right. I'm not doing this with y'all.
Look at this photograph. All right, if you choose to sit outside while eating/drinking, you do not get to complain when some insect ends up in mm-hmm. your food or drink. You don't get another for free. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually fair. Texting should only be used for short one sentence, maximum 2 messages of absolute necessity. Real phone conversations happen live, one-to-one using voices.
I completely agree.
Real phone live conversations?
I agree.
I do not like getting 4 or 5 paragraphs of text messages. You could have just told me this when we talk later.
I'd rather do that all day long. I hate talking on the phone so much now.
I can't believe you think that.
I really do. I hate
being the introvert you are.
Yeah, probably because I don't like reading.
that thing you stand behind and put your notes on when giving a speech is called a lectern, not a podium. A podium is a raised dais. Thank you. Upon which a speaker stands. Mm. Then these two, back to back. Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
Fact.
Followed by the petty hill I'll die on is arguing over what pineapple on pizza is bleeping stupid. Just eat what you like. Who the hell cares?
Have you tried pineapple with jalapeno?
On pizza?
Uh-huh, together.
No.
Dude, it's a deadly combo, man. You got to at least try it once for me.
Really?
Yeah, it'll change your life.
All right, I'll try it.
A hot dog is a kind of taco, and you will never convince me otherwise.
We've been there.
Aaliyah will always be number one over Beyonce.
A lot of people feel that way.
Really?
A lot of people feel that way. Yeah, especially from millennials, for sure.
Bags of chips and popcorn should not be served during professional developments meetings. We are in a forced proximity where the audience is quiet to listen to the presenter and the snacks are so loud and annoying.
If Tommy were here, he would agree to that for sure.
Dogs belong on furniture and in beds. They spend their lives trying to make us happy. We can at least offer them comfort.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
They make doggy beds for a reason.
Right.
We have doggy beds, but they're also in the bed. They're also on the couch. I'm letting you know right now. Hey, I do my guest a solid. I have the lint roller that I will give you upon leaving my house. But if you sit on my couch, your ass is going to be covered in dog hair.
How many heartbeats do you have in your house every night, or in your bed every night?
Just Bart and I.
Oh, okay. I thought all the dogs were in there.
No. Willie, the big monster, the 120-pound one, used to sleep in the bed with us, but now he has a nice Tempur-Pedic bed that he likes to sleep on the floor.
Okay.
So all the dogs have their own space.
God bless America.
I know, right?
You look around the world, people are sleeping on the soil.
Everyone is just pretending to like steak.
I grew up
in a vegetarian home and started eating meat only in my late teens, and I swear I never ate a steak that was even remotely tasty. I tried many times in many different places, even in high-end restaurants, and they all taste like nothing and feel like a rubber sole.
Bugging. No way.
Because you grew up in the vegan house.
Yeah,
right?
Just say you don't like steak.
No, but to them, they're like, no, yeah, that's their petty hill they're going to die on. All right, people who correct grammar on the internet are often more annoying than those who make the mistakes.
For sure.
True.
Not often.
I knew that was going to be the one.
Not often. Always.
Y'all need to learn the difference between I'm bawling my eyes out and a baseball. You need to learn the difference between an aisle you walk down and an island. And you need to learn how to spell tonight. Drives me insane.
Thank you. How do they spell tonight?
It's T-O-N-I-G-H-T is how you spell tonight.
But I like spelling it T-O-N-I-T-E.
That's wrong.
Well, I've never noticed you do that, and I think it's because we're friends. I must have blacked it out, but my mom does it, and oh my God.
So there's
I wrote a couple down.
Oh, you did?
Because I knew you were going to do this, all right? And this one is recent for me. Red Robin burgers are the top 3 burger in America.
Stop this.
Red Robin.
Have you had one?
No.
What?
I've never had one in my life.
They're pretty. I am more partial to the fries than I am the burger.
Hollis just introduced me to it, and I'm like, this is a mouth parade.
Really? Red Robin.
Red Robin.
They are delicious.
On the subject of burgers, too, Five Guys over In-N-Out all day, every day.
Well, Five Guys is my favorite burger in the world.
Yeah, In-N-Out is overrated.
That's where I went yesterday.
Five Guys?
Because, you know, I had that stomach bug or whatever, and I hadn't been able to eat. I'm like, we're going to go back in. We're going to go back in hard. So I went yesterday to Five Guys. I didn't get a little fry. I got me a regular fry. And Jimmy and I polished that puppy off.
As you should have.
Another petty hill. Most people that drive selfishly or erratically have Florida license plates. You ever notice?
I'm not going to disagree.
You will. You'll start. All public bathroom stalls should be floor to ceiling.
Yes.
I like that one.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Movie musicals should have special edits. If you like musicals, you can see them in theater 2. The other theater, you cut out the singing and you just have the talking parts of the musical.
Movie I like this. 6 minutes.
I used to edit out parts of songs I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah, and then I listened to my version.
Are you serious?
Yeah, really? You know what? Britney Spears and Oops, I Did It Again, where she has that stupid talk break about throwing the diamond into the ocean. I hated it, so I took it out.
And there are very few stage DJs that actually really need to be there. I mean, you're doing all the work before you get on. on there, and a bunch of them are on stage doing nothing anyway for theater, and most of them suck at it.
Nowadays, gotcha. That's true.
This is The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Mo and Abby, hypothetical question when it comes to strippers and cheating.
Hey. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Do you consider a lap dance from a stripper cheating if it happens at a bachelor or bachelorette party?
I feel like it's only cheating if the person is not disclosing it. If you're hiding it from me, then yes.
My follow-up question would be, did you enjoy it?
It's only cheating if you enjoyed it.
I feel like if you enjoyed it, then it's cheating. But if you felt very uncomfortable, then I'm okay with it.
All right, here's the next twist. What if it's a lap dance from the sex you are not attracted to? So say you're a heterosexual woman and you get a lap dance from another woman. Is that considered cheating?
Same rules apply for me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it wouldn't. I think because when it's done by somebody that you are attracted to, whether that be a man or a woman, that to me would constitute as kind of like that gray area of cheating. But for me, if a woman gave me a lap dance, it wouldn't do anything for me. So I kind of feel like it's not as bad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just kind of like, oh, she looks so good. Like, go queen. I give her tip. Get your bag, girl.
All right, so we're going to throw it to our social media producer, Rebecca.
Yep, I'm glad that I have the heterosexuals gathered here today. I got to talk to my straights about this.
Okay.
This is not a question that really comes up a lot for the queer community. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, I do have strippers on the mind sometimes in my downtime, but there's something that happened this past weekend that really opened up a line of debate. My good friend, Anna, dear friend, she's getting married. Woo!
Woo!
And she did something that I think more people who are having bachelorette weekends should consider. And that's, she had a staycation bachelorette weekend.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it was iconic. Like, we had this huge house in the middle of the city. We were able to go home on Sunday, 10-minute drive to our own houses. And we did things big in Atlanta. But one of the biggest things on the agenda was hitting up a famous, maybe infamous strip club called the Claremont Lounge. Mm.
So if you are unfamiliar, you know, you have like the iconic strip clubs that get called out in rock songs and also in rap songs and hip hop songs. You have Magic City, you have the Cheetah, but this Claremont Lounge is very infamous in its own right because it's where elderly strippers go.
Yeah, the Claremont Lounge is no Magic City.
No.
For sure.
Not a Cheetah either.
I would say it's kind of a novelty.
Yes.
Somehow I could not believe this, but I was the only person who had ever been there before once we got there. And I was like, I don't know if you guys are really prepared to what we are walking into. So I was really sad because the one super famous stripper who crushes the cans.
Blondie.
She was not there that
night.
No, unfortunately not there.
I think she's taking a step back from the stage more and more. I don't think she performs as much as she used to.
That makes sense. How many times can you do that?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But there were some charming performers. Very charming.
Was Little Bo Peep there?
I don't think I saw her.
Oh, man. I'm not kidding you. This woman had to have at least been in her 70s. And wow. She was dressed as Little Bo Peep.
Look at her.
It was something. It was something.
They did. There was a range of age. It was really interesting because 8 out of 10 strippers had their glasses still on.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was iconic. Just glasses on the floor. But we walked in. Everyone was taking the scene in. And as you do, you pay for a lap dance for the bride.
Yeah.
I think they thought that they were paying for a specific woman. And they got another woman who was very talented, but she looked less like a stripper and more like someone who would very passionately participate in a homeowners association. If that like paints a picture for you. But yeah, $20, and she went right at it and we were loving it. But as we were watching her give my friend the ride of a lifetime, a woman who was in the party mentioned that when she got married, she had told her husband, there are absolutely no strippers allowed at your bachelor party. And so he came back at her and was like, okay, well, there's no strippers allowed at your bachelorette party. And she was like, okay, like, I don't think I wasn't really trying to do that. I don't think there's like the same sort of like thing for girls usually. But it immediately gave me a Carrie Bradshaw moment. Because I couldn't help but wonder. Yeah, love that. Thought about that last night. As you said, if your partner says no strippers are allowed at all at your party, if you show up and your friends purchase you a dance from a same-sex stripper, do they still have the right to get mad at you?
Yeah. I mean, if you said no strippers, a stripper is a stripper.
Yeah.
No matter the gender or sex.
I mean, I would have questions. I'd be like, they bought you a male stripper? Like, is there anything you want to tell me?
Even if it's like the president of the HOA stripper?
That counts. That qualifies.
Yeah, it qualifies. Nope. A stripper's a stripper, man. So I would need to disclose that, and it's probably going to cause a fight. But I think if you made that rule, it's only right to be able to fess up to what happened.
But to be fair, this bride did not have those parameters on her bachelorette party.
Oh, the bride and groom for this, they're total hillbillies. They're trash in the best way, like my favorite way. So there were no such qualms.
The Bird Show.
There have to be websites dedicated to this because Target knows what they're doing. Last night, real story, I remember at 6:30 that we were doing the segment this morning that we all had to bring in candy for. And I realized at my house, I don't have any. I better haul ass over to Target, right? So I go there. That's the only thing I was going to get. That's it. 3 bags of candy. No lie. I walked out of there with $133 worth of stuff.
Are you kidding me? I'm not shocked.
Well, in this economy, that's like 3 things in this economy. Right. You should get shampoo and conditioner and that's it.
That doesn't happen to you guys at Target.
Oh, at Target every time.
Every single time. There has to be a way in marketing that they know where to put things that are going to get your attention.
It happens to me at the Home Goods. So I specifically went to Home Goods to get some new towels. Needed some new towels. I ended up leaving with 6 new towels, washcloths, new tongs, right? For the kitchen, some placemats, some napkins, some napkin ring holders. And I'm like, I literally came in here for freaking towels.
Maybe this would be fun to do right now. If you guys have a couple of extra seconds, tell us what you went to Target for and what you ended up with. All right. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. And Target even doesn't even love you because if they did, they would change the cameras at self-checkout.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Those are the worst.
Put a filter on that thing.
The absolute worst.
I've never seen myself look worse.
I walk in there feeling all confident, checking out, and I look like that. I'm like, ew. Ew, every single time.
They probably want you to go back and buy some facial products.
That might be part of the marketing right now.
You need to visit the cosmetic section stat.
What did you go into Target for and what did you end up with? What was the price discrepancy? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Mikey ended up in an embarrassing situation in Target last week also.
Sure did. So it was my lady's birthday this past weekend. And one thing that I've come to understand about her is she is not the best gift receiver. She doesn't really know how to receive a gift. So anytime I give her something, it's like, wait, does this suck? Is this horrible? Because for example, like a month after we started dating, it was Valentine's Day. Of course, you got to give her flowers. I go into her house. I walk in with the flowers. I'm expecting just to be, I don't know, praised. She says, oh. That's what she said. Oh.
That was it?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, jeez, do these flowers suck?
That's not good.
Are these bad flowers?
No.
And
then,
no, turns out she loved them. She just doesn't know how to react whenever she gets stuff. So this year I said, listen, I'm just going to go to Target. She likes Target. I'm just going to get her a bunch of stuff. So I go in, I get some Nerf guns, I get an Etch-A-Sketch, I get a book, and then I say, we need something else. So in my head, some pajamas would be the right route. Now I learn I have to walk into the ladies section. Now there's no way to be a man ruffling through tiny little skimpy ladies clothes without looking like an absolute creep. So I'm in there. I'm, you know, taking stuff off the rack, looking at what I think she'd like. And it's just like a mom and her daughter over there, like, stay away from that man, honey. And I've been in this situation before. I used to work at Kohl's. And my job was to get the stuff that was ordered online and put it into the packages. So I had to go into the bra section. And, geez, I had no idea. Double D, C3.
I'm like, C3, so
I literally had to grab customers and be like, you got to help me find this bra. And it was like, I was just freaking out the customers. So I'm in there. I'm ruffling through all this stuff. I finally find these pajamas. It has a deal. They're $15 each. But for a set, it's $20. So I say, this is the way to go. I get what I need. I put it in my cart. Now I just need to make it out the door before anyone catches me with these little, with these tiny little pajamas. So I go to self-checkout where I think I'm going to be safe. I put it on the thing.
Oh, no.
Discount does not apply.
No.
So now I got to call over the attendant and say, yes, I'm trying to buy these. Will you please help me get the discount? And she's like, she's kind of laughing at me for holding up these things. But she tells me you have to download the app, whatever, whatever. I do all these steps.
While you're standing there at self-checkout.
While I'm standing there. And then still it doesn't work. So she tells me, go back and take a picture of the deal. Now this time, to avoid even more embarrassment, because I was standing in front of the whole self-checkout line.
Well, wait, now you're going to be a creeper taking pictures the pajama lingerie section. Yeah.
So now I go to an actual cash register. This lady was mean. She was just straight up mean.
They are mean at Target. Have you lost your mind?
This lady was not feeling me.
This is not Cracker Barrel. Okay. Target's different.
Well, she probably thought I was a creep buying these little skimpy shorts. But so I bring them to her. Discount still not applied. So I show her the picture and she says, sir, I can't just go off the picture. This is not going to work. So we get into a little argument and I'm like, so are you saying that this is fake? Is this a fake advertisement? She says, I don't know. I can't do anything for you. So then I'm like, all right, I'll take them back. Thank you very much. I go, I grab the nearest swimsuit and I just chuck it in the stupid thing. I didn't check the size. This was a horrible experience. I don't want to be standing in the women's section taking pictures and throwing things in my cart. So.
They don't care, man. Money is money. They don't care if you're wearing it, she's wearing it. Money is money. Hey, Fernando, okay, you walked into Target for what and ended up with what?
All right, I walked into Target one day because my kid needed diapers. I got the diapers, and I ended up walking out with the diapers and a Nintendo Switch.
Makes sense.
That's how it happens, man. It's always hundreds of dollars of difference.
Every single time.
All right, my man. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
See you now. All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. You guys hit us up on email and you're like, Bircha, you never gave us any closure on blank. And then we start to do the research on it. And today's Thursday.
So this story is originally from February 6th of last year, and Trish had a major issue with her neighbors. She could see directly into their primary bedroom from her guest bedroom. They had no curtains up, so she could see all of the sexual activities. It was easy for Trish to close her own curtains. Soon, her fiancé's kids, who were 6 and 9, were going to be moving into her guest bedroom, so she didn't want to take the chance of the kids seeing her neighbors naked, so she wrote them a letter. She politely requested that they put up blinds for the sake of the kids, and she even offered to split the cost. But last we heard, her neighbors received their letter and doubled down. The next day, they were in front of their window, butt naked. Did she ever directly call them out on their flagrant behavior? A phrase, what is that? Delecto?
Yeah, apparently it's a phrase Cassie used last time in flagrante delicto.
Oh, and flagrante delicato. It just means in the act.
She just likes flexing her.
Yeah,
I don't. It's legitimately a phrase that is used.
If you're going to continue to be on the show, you got to dumb it down.
Maybe you got to smart it up.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, I have way too much Delta 8 for that.
They having sex.
There we go. So what has happened since?
Hi, Bert Show. Thank you again for all the advice you gave me when it came to dealing with my nude neighbors. Unfortunately, I have to report that the naked behavior only got worse, and my second response was not as polite as my initial note. In the few weeks leading up to the day that my fiance's kids were moving in, Adam and Eve, as I like to call them now, really exposed themselves as jerks. Seeing them boldly naked in the window became a daily occurrence, and my note must have spiked their libido because the on-display piano playing only became more frequent, too. Some people like that, like to know that they're being watched. The week that the kids were set to move in, I finally lost it. I started a habit of checking daily to see if they had made any progress with installing blinds, and as a result, had seen them naked so many times, it just didn't faze me anymore. That realization made me incredibly uncomfortable. I could not tolerate knowing that children would potentially be exposed to the same sight. So I wrote another letter. It read, Dear perverts, while I admire your commitment to your principles, I'm at my wit's end after witnessing you jump and jiggle around in broad daylight for weeks. I will be polite and not mention the things I have seen most evenings. May I remind you, two children who also have eyes will be your neighbors very soon. I did not want to do this, but if you cannot clothe yourselves properly and be more discreet during intimacy, I will involve the police. I do not wish to escalate the situation further, but you have forced my hand. Again, as your neighbor, I kindly request you purchase blinds and spare our eyes. With as much respect as I can gather, your neighbor. I attached an Amazon gift card for $25 so they could purchase said blinds. I thought that was a kind gesture. Well, instead, they didn't buy blinds. Their final act of defiance, they bought privacy film that they attached to their bedroom windows. It doesn't totally camouflage what's happening in their room, but at least now I only see blurry pink blobs instead of my neighbor's genitalia in 4K. The kids did move in, and the other one did notice a bit of action happening behind the privacy film. When they asked what was up, I said, they're just dancing. They were satisfied with the answer, and I'm happy that my tired eyes have gotten a break. Thanks again for all your help, Trish.
I think it's a win-win.
Yeah.
You're on The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, we got one virtual listener that needs some help here because she wants to convince her sister that the dude that her sister is dating is not right for her. You already know how this goes. Like, once you're focused on somebody, it is almost impossible to get anybody to listen to you. But she wants to go in anyway.
Hey, Bert Show. I'm hoping you guys can help me convince my sister her boyfriend is not the one. My sister and I are 4 years apart and we're super close. My sister has found what she thinks is her forever. Let's call him Greg. Greg was my husband's friend and coworker and had just gotten out of a 6-year relationship. My husband and I wanted to play matchmaker, so we set up the meeting and they hit it off. A few months into dating, he got a job offer in Kansas and she took the leap and went to live with him. She's now been living with Greg for 3 years and she's a stay-at-home fur mommy. Greg has a good job that pays him very well, so she doesn't really feel the need to work. The problem with Greg is all he does is work. He'll work 15 hours at the office, then come home and works more, eats, then falls asleep. I feel like he does not prioritize my sister, and she blames his ADHD brain or that he's an only child, but I just feel like that's an excuse she tells herself. He doesn't buy her flowers on Valentine's Day. He doesn't gift her anything just because I saw this and thought of you. The only reason why they celebrate their anniversary is because she plans everything. He's basically there physically and financially, but not emotionally. And I feel like this is taking a toll on my sister mentally. She's in another state with no family and no friends. We talk on the phone twice a day, every day, and I feel like her anxiety is getting worse. She cannot go to the grocery store alone, much less drive more than 30 minutes without almost having a panic attack. She does, quote unquote, self-medicate, wink, wink, and that seems to help take the edge off sometimes. She's told me she thinks it's unfair for her to tell Greg to move back to Georgia because he loves his job and it was her choice to move in with him. I recently come clean about how I feel about her situation and she was speechless. I know my sister has brought it up to Greg many times about how she's feeling, and I wouldn't say he doesn't care. I think he just simply doesn't prioritize her in their relationship. She feels like she can change him and help him figure out a work-life balance, but I think that's just how he's hardwired. They're planning on visiting sometime in September, and would I be an a-hole if I pulled them aside to try and have a heart-to-heart with Greg? I've told her it's her life and she can live it however she wants, but I don't want 5 years to go by and nothing changes and she regrets the decision she's made because of the potential she sees in him. I love my sister and I want her to live her best authentic life, but I don't feel like she is. We love Greg. Honestly, we do, but some people are not good together, you know? I know the dating scene is hard out there, especially the older you get. What can I say to make her realize she cannot change someone that doesn't see there is a problem?
You already done what you can do.
Yeah.
You already done. You already talked to her, man. That's it.
I mean, I love how committed she is to her sister and she wants the best for her. It's apparent how close they are, talking, you know, twice a day, every day. But your sister's a grown ass woman. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you have said your piece. And now you need to let her make her own big girl decisions.
It's tough having a sibling and watching them be in a situation that you don't think is the best for them. But at the end of the day, I said it all. There's nothing you can do. You've spoken to her. And if she's in that situation, she is a grown woman. She can get herself out. But if she's in it and she's fine with what it is, or at least she's appearing to be, then you just have to let this go.
And do not, under any circumstance, pull Greg aside and have a heart-to-heart with him behind your sister's back. That is not your relationship to meddle in. If your sister wants to change her life, she's the one that has to change it. Yeah, I was
going
to
say, I don't know if that's different with two sisters, but I know as a brother, if one of my sisters did that to my girlfriend or fiance, I would be livid.
Oh, yes.
I would be so upset.
You don't recover from that.
No.
That's it.
Well, it's so frustrating because I've been in this situation multiple times, not necessarily with my brother, but like with friends where you see them in a relationship and you can see from the outside that there is so much more for them outside of this relationship, whether it be with somebody else or with other pursuits in their life. And you just see them kind of sit back and take it. And you wish that they could see things the way that you do. But the problem is when you're in it, it's kind of like being underwater. Like, does a fish know? Like, there's everything else out there too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's one of those things that you've done your due diligence. You've spoken with her about it. You've said your piece. But at the end of the day, it's her life. And she has to choose and make that decision to leave if that's what she's ready for.
Yeah, I think, can we take Anna on line one? Because she has a really good point.
Hey, Anna, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. I guess my thoughts were, like, why is Greg the identified problem? It sounds like the sister could use a little self-care and maybe start there. Because if she's not working and if she's starting to self-medicate, you know.
Yeah, because
it sounds like Greg might not be the whole issue.
Yeah, because Greg, I think we all agree, Greg is not responsible for her happiness. She is responsible for her own happiness. Yeah. And I know that, I know it's so much easier said than done.
Totally. But also the people in our life can really take a toll on us. Like I have a friend who is going through a breakup right now. Long story short, she has some substance issues, but she had to go through a week of sobriety for her surgery. And within that week, she realized, oh, this guy actually makes me kind of miserable and was able to get out of it. So I think sometimes like if there's a common denominator of something that's fueling your misery, then you got to cut it out.
This is The Bert Show.
All right, Cassie, gentle parenting. It bit you in the booty.
I mean, maybe I'm just a failure as a parent because that's also very possible.
Oh, welcome to the club.
Yay.
It's so much fun. Let's fail together.
But I have been trying what's called gentle parenting, and that doesn't mean pushover parenting. Like, it just means you handle things a little more emotionally and gently with your kids rather than the overbearing authoritative, you must do this now kind of feel,
no
right?
No reasoning, just it's my way or the highway parenting.
Yeah, not that way, but so much as like you give them the reason. We don't do this because of this, or you redirect, or things like if they're running, you don't say, don't run. You say, walk, please, because if you fall, you will hurt yourself, remember? So you give them explanations, and mm-hmm. It takes a while to sink in. But with my eldest daughter, who's 4, it's been really successful, and she's very sensitive, so it's worked great. I also have a 2-year-old mm-hmm. who's almost 2.5, and we have actually discussed getting his hearing checked because he doesn't even respond to his name. And it is getting to a point, and his hearing is fine. We've already had it tested. He's fine. He just ignores us. He don't give an F. He will do what he wants if he wants to do it. And he'll do that thing where he also, you're like, please don't do this. And he'll just stare you in the eye and walk and go do it. And he thinks it's funny, like he's being cheeky, but it's getting tiring. And so I'll try the same tactics like, Max, don't do this because of X, Y, and Z. Max, or I'll remove him or redirect him, everything. Sometimes he won't even listen, and I find I have to yell at the top of my lungs to even get him to slowly turn his head and look at me. And I'm like, I don't want to be the yelling parent, but that's the only way you listen. And now his sister is learning from him. Mm. And so I set him down, guys, and she'll start crying. And I'm like, I don't want to yell. And in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm this parent. I don't want to yell, but you're forcing me to. And I can be better. I just don't know what to do because Max is also hitting and biting now. Mm-hmm. And I know it's because he doesn't have the words he needs to express himself genuinely. He's not a mean kid. And I can see when he gets frustrated, he just can't verbalize it. Right. And I am at a loss for what to do.
Yeah. This is why I stuck to raising cats.
That is smart.
So I subscribe to gentle parenting as well. My husband, not so much. We're really on the same page there. And I do feel like acknowledging their feelings is important, even though sometimes, a lot of times, toddlers' feelings are very nonsensical.
And that's where we are, right? That's where we are. The gloves are off. But here's the thing. We've been reading studies because we're like, okay, what can we do? And now there are new studies that saying yelling at your kids can be as emotionally abusive as spanking them. And so I'm like, great, my kids, I'm going to be the one in 20 years when my kid's in therapy because mom yelled at me for opening the fridge and trying to eat cheese.
I mean, you just can be too soft also, you know, where they don't listen and they don't respect you. I don't know what the answer is.
I mean, we do punish. We take things away. Yep. We do punishments. You lose things. You get a chance. And then if you do it again, you're like, you chose this. I told you what would happen. So we enforce it and we follow through. He just does not care. And I don't know what to do because that is so the opposite of me and all my little rule following. Everything has to be by the book. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll burn your damn book.
Listen. It's The Bert Show.
I'm so glad that we got this email today about your kids' privacy. Is it an invasion of privacy if you're checking their texts and their emails and stuff like that? Because I was just thinking about this yesterday. So my teen son is a great kid. He is a great kid. Sometimes he does teen stuff, right? That are... not a big deal. It's just teen stuff, you know? My biggest problem is like him taking out the trash and then there are a couple of newspapers. Yeah, those are still a thing. In the driveway that he doesn't pick up and put in the... That's the problem that I have, right? It's not a big deal at all. When he and I were talking yesterday, there were a couple of things that I wanted to talk to him about. You know, it didn't get like... I see a lot of parents just kind of like lose it on their kids a little bit. Like they get frustrated with their kids and they talk down to their kids. And I really try very, very hard to have this open dialogue between he and I, where I tell him why I'm upset about some of the things. And then I allow him the space to go ahead and tell me if he thinks I'm right, thinks I'm BSing. And then we have a conversation about it. And it comes down to respect, right? Between the two of us. I think that at least in our case, that the health of our relationship has a lot to do with the respect that Stacy and I allow our kids. It wasn't that way in my house when I was growing up. Kids didn't have a say in the matter at all. It was dad's way. It was mom's way. You never got to speak up. And I remember being really frustrated by that. And in a lot of ways, that turned me into a pretty rebellious teen, right? So if I give them that space, so far, so good, right? In fact, there were three parents. There was he had his prom last week and they had a prom picture party. So me and a bunch of the fathers were sitting around watching the kids and we were complaining about our kids. And at some point or another, I said to them, you guys realize how good we have it? Like the things that we're bitching about right now are ridiculous when there are some teens that are in real trouble right now. And we all kind of said, you know what? We really do have champagne problems, and I think they handle their kids the same way. So I'm wondering, as we read this email here on the invasion of your kids' privacy, where that conversation lies in this email.
As a parent, I've struggled with whether it is right that I monitor my kids' text. My spouse and I made the decision early on to monitor our kids' text, and we made sure they're aware of it. We wanted our children to understand that while we respect their autonomy.
There you go.
Our primary concern is their well-being. On a couple of occasions, it's been proven to be the right strategy. Like when we found out our daughter was dating a 17-year-old who had a reputation for being involved with drugs. We put an immediate stop to the relationship. Without our intervention, who knows what trouble she could have gotten into. Some of my friends argue that reading their children's texts is like reading their diary without permission. I understand, but I also believe that parenting in the digital age requires less privacy for them. So, how do most other parents handle this? Am I wrong to read the text?
1-855-BIRDSHOW. Okay, this is your future problem.
It is my future problem. Yep. And I'm going to monitor text messages.
You are.
Absolutely.
So I have in the past monitored Hollis's. I haven't done it in a while. A long while, actually. But I do think that it's not so much an invasion of privacy. I mean, a lot of kids don't communicate with their parents really what's going on. You have no way of knowing. And I know this, that even though I think I have a quote unquote open kind of conversation and relationship and Hollis tells me everything. No, he doesn't. When your kid is telling you, he's telling you everything. He's telling you about 80%. She's telling you about 80%.
Yeah. A text to me are very different than a diary or a journal. Like that's you talking to yourself, getting out your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts on things. I think it's more intimate. Whereas text messages, you're just having active conversations with other people. And sorry, your conversations with your friends at that age are not going to be private. And especially with social media. And whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whether it's bullying, I mean, there could be things that are being said that can be hurtful to your mental health. I think a part of managing your kids' mental health is managing their internet footprint and their social media and their text messages.
I had this conversation with Hollis a long time ago, telling him, I just want to let you know your phone's not your phone. Your phone is your mom's phone and your phone is my phone. So at any time, I can take a look at it. So he knows it's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not sneaking his phone. He knows it's on the table. I just haven't done it in a while.
I feel like it's hard for me to say as I'm sitting here thinking about it without having kids if I would check or not check. It's easier to say when you're not in that situation, but I feel like with the way the world is today, if I were in that position, I would think the best thing to do, especially when they're at that impressionable age, is to check the text just to make sure everything is okay.
It's so different now, man. It is Very. So different. What we used to have to worry about is stressing out about the kids at our own school or in our neighborhood. Not like that anymore. You can get bullied from people you don't even know online or in mm-hmm. texts now. So, you know, if you're not looking at it at all, I don't, that's a tough decision. Good morning, Matt. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. I think Mo is absolutely on point where he says that, you know, this is not the same world anymore. I'm a deputy sheriff. I'm a law enforcement instructor. Georgia ranks 6th in the nation for human trafficking.
Wow.
Oh.
And a lot of that comes from online grooming. And some of these apps are absolutely dangerous for kids to be on because they also include location mapping. So 65%, according to recent statistics, of kids that have been trafficked or men that have gone to buy sex with underage kids happen inside the 285 Beltway.
Wow. That's so scary. All right, Matt, stick with me here because I want to put you on with Sky, who feels like this is an invasion of privacy. Hey, Sky, good morning.
Morning.
All right, you feel like, nah, man, stay away from that thing. That's an invasion of privacy and their freedoms.
I do. I absolutely think that. I'm really close to my kids. They tell me everything. So, you know, I want to give them their own space, and we have a great relationship, and I think it's just terrible. You have to build that trust with your children, and that's what we have. I mean, my son just told me that he had his first kiss. He's 18 years old, mm-hmm. and that's like, we have that bond. We have that trust. So, you know, it's worked out well for me and my kids, and I just don't agree with it.
Matt, as a deputy, how do you turn Sky around on that?
Well, every situation is different because human trafficking victims are typically from broken homes that don't have good relationship with their parents. So if it works for her, that's fantastic. And I applaud you for having such a great relationship with your kids. But the statistics are for kids that don't have that. And parents use technology to parent their children rather than stepping up and being the parent themselves.
Yeah. I would also say, Sky, just be real careful about thinking that you know 100% of what's going on in your kid's life. I'm not naive to it. I think we have a good relationship, and he says that we speak about everything. Oh, hell no, we don't.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.